This is Defining New Media Marketing, the podcast. Your brief for insights, tips, and the future of new media marketing. Let's get started. Well, I hope you had a great weekend. It is a new week here at Defining New Media, and we will continue our series on the future of content. This is part four, and this part should be more aptly named the content strategy, or how to create the content strategy. Here we'll cover planning, personas, the empathy map. I don't think we're going to quite get to modeling. And that's the why, the what, the who, the how, the when, the where. We'll probably cover that tomorrow. And probably one more day of the content strategy as we talk about some secrets and really elements that didn't quite fit into the planning or the modeling, but are good things that you need to know when you go out there and create content for driving sales, capturing the attention, and really going out there and successfully implementing a content strategy. Look, you are listening to Defining New Media, your first and last stop for new media news. I am Scott Scanlon from Ubrand Inc., and you can reach me at scott@ubrandinc.com or on Twitter. That's twitter.com/ScottScanlon. I appreciate everybody that sent over emails. Kelly, White, Mitch, just to name a couple. I've got about 7-8 more here. Plus John. I got to mention John. He was about to go out on a 10-mile run and was going to listen to the show as well. So I appreciate the email, John. And I'm sorry I was late in getting back to everybody. I didn't get back to everybody till Sunday. So apologize. Took a day off, a couple days to hang out with my daughter. So had a great time. So let's jump right in. I'm not going to really rehash everything we covered thus far. If you've missed part one, part two, part three, definitely catch those. They give you a good foundation of why are we talking about content? Why is it important? And somewhat of where the future of content is going. So today we're going to talk about planning. And I'm going to cover planning not from the target audience yet. I'm going to cover it from a high level. When we talk about content, when we talk about creating content to go out there and engage an audience, there's a couple key things that need to be in place. Obviously, the first one is your goals and your metrics. What are you going to use to measure the success of your content strategy? I'm not going to talk too much about that because I believe it's cut and dry. I believe your goals are cut and dry. It's either increase the sales, increase prospects, increase leads. But there is elements that you have to look at, such as engagement, downloads, the time on page and stuff like that. But as we talked about before, the definition of media is changing as well. So we really need this kind of bleed over metric that we can go out there and say, what is the time of engagement across all of our media types? That would be awesome. In fact, if you got an idea or you're in the tech side, that might be something, an opportunity there to develop. But at a high level, we're planning out our content strategy. First thing it generally needs to be is useful. It needs to be useful to the target audience. Another thing that a great content strategy does, or great content does, is it shows your product, your service, or what you do in use continuously. And sometimes this isn't something that is really strong. Sometimes it's just a good story. So for instance, Evernote. I remember, this is probably about a year ago, Evernote on their blog, and if you're not aware of what Evernote is, it basically allows you to, it's kind of like a Delicious, if you know Delicious, where you can save stuff. You can take pictures, you can put it into your Evernote. It's quote unquote in the cloud, I guess you could say nowadays. That's the new catchphrase, right? And you can access it on your iPhone. It's a great tool to be able to capture stuff throughout the web in person, pictures, to just whatever else you want to capture. It's a great tool. I use it daily. They had a blog post on a gentleman that had some type of brain disorder And I believe it was like the movie Memento, where he just didn't have short-term memory. He forgot, literally his brain did not allow short-term memory. And he and long-term memory also. It was something along those lines. And the gist of the post is how he used Evernote and how he used Evernote to basically survive, where before he had notebooks and notebooks of stuff, but he devised a way to use Evernote so he could function in today's world. And the subtext was Evernote played center stage there, but it was a great piece of content. And it, not only that, it got shared, it got engaged. It's a great piece of content. Another good example of this is Garnier. They do hair care and style products. If you go to their website, they have style videos. Typically 3 to 4 minutes long, show you how to do a particular style. They also have illustrations that give you the steps to actually do that particular style. They have related styles. It's well laid out. It's useful, it's usable, it's great quality, and accompanying it is the products that you need to actually incorporate or create that style, right? And that's something with the quality. This is where one of the tough things when we talk about a content strategy is that quality aspect. Is what should my level of quality be? And we'll talk more about this in the modeling section, but your level of quality is dependent on your audience, dependent on their expectations. It's dependent on the message you're trying to convey as well. Another important aspect of content as the world just explodes. I mean, here's some stats from last year. I couldn't believe some of these things. So, for instance, there was 255 million websites as of December 2010. 21.4 million added in the year of 2010. So, that's that. Just 255 million websites, just websites themselves, is what you have to contend with. Now, it's really important with content that it has some form of entertainment value. Even if you're trying to educate. Even this is one of those things that I think is apparent. If you've ever tried to learn a difficult subject or you've had a great teacher in your past, typically the great teachers fit in two categories. It's either the teacher that pushed you to limits that you didn't believe was possible, made you excel, or the teacher that had the ability to explain a subject matter in a way that you got it, or in a way that made you enjoy the subject. What they really were doing was entertaining you. You know, the first teacher that's pushing you, nothing to do with content. But the teacher that understands how to bring history alive is essentially entertaining you, is telling you in stories. I've mentioned on the podcast before Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. If you haven't listened to that podcast and you like history, you have to listen to it. He does an awesome job at storytelling, bringing history to life, but also putting a really great spin, not spin, bringing through the truth of history in unique ways, in ways that you just wish, if you're a lover of history like I am, you had a history professor like him. Another important aspect of content is the educational aspect. Content that hits the useful, usable, great quality, entertainment, and educational is really the kind of five pillars of great content. If you can make your content like that on a consistent basis, where it educates your target market, where it helps them learn to do more with your product, your service, or in their job, their role, you've really got something there. You really do. And I covered those five pillars first because those are the things to keep in mind as we talk about personas here. Now, a persona, and this is the way we like to create a content strategy here at Ubrand Inc. And really what I found most effective, which is take a target market, take a target segment, bring it down to one person, and build out that person. Create a real person, their daily life, what they care about, what they do. One of the best ways I've seen this done is what's called the empathy map. And I've seen it other places, but one of the best places I've seen it is in a book called Business Model Generation. I love the subhead to this, which is, you're holding a handbook for visionaries, game changers, and challengers striving to defy outmoded business models and design tomorrow's enterprises. It's a book for the business model generation. It's a great book. It's well-written. It's very visually done really well. If you haven't picked it up, it's definitely one of those books that if you're in the innovation market, or if you're just you want a great book to help you with business models or even modeling in general, it's a great book. One of the things they have in here is called the empathy map. And the empathy map is basically, it's got a person in the middle or a face in the middle, and it's got four quadrants and then two quadrants below that. And these quadrants are think and feel. You know, your persona, what do they think and feel? Right? What really counts are their major preoccupations, worries, aspirations. What do they see? Environment, friends, what the market offers. What do they say and do? You know, their attitude, their appearance, their behavior. What do they hear? What do their friends say? What do their boss says? What do the influencers say? And then you break it down to pain. You know, the fears, the frustrations, the obstacles, the gain, the wants, the needs, the measure of success, the obstacles. Really, you take this map and you build out a persona of a person. Because this will help you as we talk about the content that we should be creating. The useful, the usable, the quality, the entertainment value, the educational value. So, you know, barriers. So for instance, if we look at the barriers someone in your target market would have to overcome, have they had a previous bad experience? Do they have an over-reliance on trade publications? Do they have a lack of technical know-how? You know, these are things when you build out the persona and you really understand your market, you can create content that speaks directly to these needs, these wants. Oftentimes people go and they create a content strategy behind a walled garden. And that walled garden is, we know what the market wants. We know our product in and out. We're the best ones to create content for it because we know what we need to put out there. They don't go through this exercise of building out a person and seeing it from their eyes and building content from their eyes. Because when you start doing that, then you start asking yourself, well, what are the content needs? Right? Does it need to be comparative? Do I need to build a consistent comparative analysis of my service, my product, or what I do comparative to the marketplace, comparative to other types of industries? I can't remember what book I read once, but it still sticks in my mind, and I'm going to get it wrong too, but it's something along the lines that the television, you know, you'd think that a television manufacturer would say that, you know, I'm competing with other televisions. My flat screen television is competing with other flat screen televisions. So when someone goes to Best Buy, how do I differentiate myself? Which is true, but also you're competing with that snowboard, because the individual thinking about buying that television has a finite amount of capital to spend, and they're looking to be entertained. So where do you fall in that value chain, right? Comparative. Does your persona, does your target market need information? They not have enough information to make these, you know, to solve their problem or to even ask the questions. Do they need testimonials? Yes. I'm not even going to ask. You don't even need to ask that. Everybody needs testimonials. So yes, they need testimonials. Does the content need to be in video form? Do they need infographics? Are they visual? Everybody's visual. So, you know, this is one of those things that everybody's visual. So I always start from that visual platform. I always start from the fact that people are visual. So whenever we can communicate something visually, we're more times than not, we're going to win. So that's why when before you really think about, hey, we could blog or we could do a video or we could do an infographic or a white paper, first thing is create a persona. And it's work. I mean, going through the empathy map is work. Truly doing it. And actually, in a way, shedding off your preconceived notions and actually looking at the world through the way it really is, as opposed to the way you think it is, will enable you to create content and a content strategy that will make a difference in your business. So we got to about where I thought we were going to get today, which was pretty much the whole planning tab on the content strategy. Tomorrow we will cover modeling. Modeling out your content. The why, the what, the who, the how, the when, and the where. And then we'll see where we go from there. Look, I appreciate you spending time with me here. And once again, if you appreciate the podcast or you like the content, please share it. Please subscribe, leave a comment, or send me an email, scott@ubrandinc.com. You can reach me on Twitter. That's Twitter/ScottScanlon. I will see you tomorrow.